CCTV International. I'm Ru Chenggang in Beijing. The U.S.-led coalition forces continue to launch relentless aerial bombardments on Iraq's major cities. Explosions were heard in the early hours of Monday morning in the capital city of Baghdad, the northern city of Mosul, and the southern city of Basra. Zhou Jun has the details.
The latest round of bombs hit central Baghdad at about 5 a.m. local time. Earlier, at about 2 a.m., an explosion had rocked the building of the Iraqi Information Ministry. Both Abu Dhabi TV and Al Jazeera showed live pictures of a blaze near the building. Abu Dhabi TV reporters also pointed out there were residential buildings close to the fire. A shopping center near the ministry was also on fire.
People had leadership and government as leader, and therefore the aggressing colonial powers, the American and British, they fell in the trap of their deceit that was built on desperate wishes, and they built a campaign of aggression on our people, and now they're being defeated on all battlefields. They are defeated on all fronts and are retreating in the face of the strong strikes that are carried out by the people of Iraq, the civilians and the military alike. In all fronts, the village people, the tribesmen, the civilians, the members of the party, the units of the armed forces, those painful strikes and destructive strikes that changed those desperate dreams of those invaders and spread fear in their ranks, and hundreds of them fell killed, and many were captured, and the soldiers, the American and British, fled scared away, running away from our troops. And this bravery, this Iraqi Islamic bravery, spread fear and confusion in the leadership of those aggressors. And now you see that that leadership is contradicting itself in their statements and in their announcements, and the statements of that leadership is subject of laughter in the world, based on what based on the lies and claims that were belied by the Iraqi soldiers on the battlefield, and the Iraqis proved the lies and their lies. Now the fact that is present on the ground is their retreat and defeat of the aggressors, and victory for the people and army of Iraq. And we are determined with God's help to give the ultimate defeat to those aggressors, And with each day, America and Britain wade into a quagmire, and the losses increase for those two outlaws, those two evil governments that are succumbing to the orders of the Zionists and the companies that are after the resources of Iraq. The losses increase, and they wade further and further in the quagmire of defeat. They only have one chance, which is to withdraw quickly, early withdrawal. Today, if they withdraw today, is better than tomorrow, and that will save them more losses, both in human casualties and material casualties. We are determined to inflict the maximum losses, and we're determined to expel them outside of our borders and inflicting defeat on them. And victory is coming, God willing. The forces have nothing but to surrender to our forces. If they want to save their souls, they have to surrender to our forces. And we will treat those who surrender to our forces based in accordance to our Arabic and Islamic values and in accordance to our commitment to the Geneva Convention and the humanitarian and the human international law. Those who follow the evil whispers of their leadership, they have no future and they have no hope to rescue themselves from the incinerator that we're fixing for those aggressors on all fronts. The withdrawal of those aggressive forces will avert a lot of losses. If they go further in the aggression, they will increase their losses, and the rift between them and the Arabs and Muslims will be bigger, and they will increase in the hatred and the feelings of hatred between them and the Muslims and Arabs and all the people of the world. And their interests will be harmed, and they will have a lot of losses on the level of interest. On their interest. So there are some who say that the Americans and British are making up for their losses on the battlefield, on the front, by attacking civilians and civilian installations and facilities more. They are destroying, and you hear about those cowardly strikes on civilian quarters all over Iraq. But those cowardly acts will not give them but more rebuke and more losses, especially in front of the international public opinion, and will increase in the rift between them and the Arabs and Muslims, and will create burdens, heavy burdens for them, and they will come down from the status that they were dreaming of, being superpower. They will no longer be superpower after America became an outlaw with the admission of the United Nations and all of the international community. Therefore, we say another time and stress here that America and Britain, they have no choice but to withdraw and stop their aggression and immediately withdraw from our land. Otherwise, their presence, the presence of their forces on our land, will expose them to more losses, grave losses, and we're determined with the help of God to defeat this force no matter how long the time is. They will not leave our land safe and sound if they continue to be stubborn in their aggression. We will confront them with all what we have, depending and relying on God Almighty and on the will of our people and leadership. We will destroy those forces and no one will be safe except those who surrender to us on the battlefront. I'm ready to answer any of your questions. Yes. Mr. Minister, the American administrator they have increased their tone against Syria. What is your position, and where do you put the position of the Arabs in the confrontation between Iraq and the aggression? Syria responded to those claims and accusations. The Arab position, the popular position, is excellent. The Arab people all over the Arab world, with no exception, is very angry over this aggression and is demanding the Arab government to give the people the chance to participate in defeating this aggression, and demanding from the Arab government to take all measures to support, to give the needed support to Iraq in confronting this aggression. The popular position is excellent in the Arab world, but the official position, we hope that this official position comes close to the popular position, and the legitimacy of the official position is gained when it is closer to the popular position. Their meetings, their resolutions that stated or demanded giving support and solidarity to Iraq and to refrain from participation in the aggression against Iraq. There are people who are participating in stabbing Iraq from the in the back, and they will be getting the judgment from their people after they tarnished the reputation of their country with humility. Those before history and the Arab nation, they are to be held accountable for this betrayal, and what is being requested by the populace in the Arab world is a position by the government to support Iraq. You know that Iraq has never let down any Arab country from the position of Iraq. Any country that had suffered from anything in the past, Iraq had come forward and helped. They did not wait for a resolution from the United Nations or the Arab League, or a justification from here or justification from there to support our brethren in the Arab countries. Therefore, the Arab people are waiting there for their government to return some of that debt to Iraq that was present in all the battles of the Arab world against the Zionist aggressor, ready with money and men and weapons, and Iraq was present against all the calamities that inflicted the Arab world.
Yes.
Can you tell us something in English? 12 days have passed on the war that is being waged against Iraq by the British and Americans, and as you know, the invaders, the British and the American invaders, they led themselves into this quagmire. They wished something for Iraq as invaders, as colonial powers. They wanted to divide Iraq, to divide the public opinion in Iraq. Those wishes of the invaders, the British and the American, fell on deaf ears. So the British worked hard to apply this golden rule of the British colonization in Iraq during more than 30 years when they ruled Iraq before 1948. And in that period, the British failed in applying the rule.
This was the desire of British colonialists. They left this legacy to their American friends or allies who believed into this illusion and came to Iraq and planned their colonial war campaign against Iraq in accordance with this illusion. And so they fell into a trap of their own, made by their own hands. They faced unified people, one body, a single body. The leader, the leadership, the government, and the people are unified body in this country, unified entity, fighting entity, fighting against their war, colonial or colonial war against our country. And I replied to a question by the gentleman from Monte Carlo Radio about the Arab official position. I said the Arab popular position is excellent, and the degree of the legitimacy of the Arab official position, governmental position, is how much this position gets closer to the Arab popular position. Now, yes? The Americans are talking a lot of lies and fabrication, because lying is the golden rule of the American administration. You can ask about the military details to the spokesman who will appear today in front of you, but you have to put a question mark along any statement said by these liars. They have been lying to their people, they have been lying to the world public opinion, and now they fell victim to their lies. Yes. Now.
Yes, are you trying any initiative on the diplomatic front?
The Netherlands movement is moving now to hold a session for the General Assembly. The Arab group is moving also to hold a session to the General Assembly, first to go to the Security Council asking for a resolution to stop this aggression and immediately, and to withdraw all invading forces outside the Iraqi borders. We are part of the Arab group and we are part of an aligned group. Now, مجلس الأمن كبلته دولتان خارجتان على القانون هما بريطانيا والولايات المتحدة، ودفعتاه إلى إصدار قرار هزيل.
Was shackled by two countries, America and Britain, and it was pushed to issue a resolution, a weak resolution that brings about irony, while the Zionist American British aggressive forces throw the fire against people, on Iraqi people. Security Council is talking about food. Who is going to receive the food? Are they the children that were killed in the Shu'ala? The children that were killed by those cruel and brutal aggressors that are coming out of the caves of the Middle Ages. First, the aggression has to stop. The aggression against the life of the people is the first violation of the human rights. Before you give the human being food, give him security and safety, and take away the shadow of death that is over that human being. These crimes are the worst of crimes against humanity. We are working through those systems, the Arab group and the non-aligned movement and the Islamic Organization Conference. We hope that the United Nations engages its authority, and we wish that the Security Council goes back to exercise their jurisdiction as was mentioned in the Charter, and that the Secretary General stops to be a rubber rope pulled as a string by Negroponte in violation of laws and Charter of the United Nations. They talk about 3,000 Israeli experts amongst the invading forces. What do you say? Well, Israel is the first instigator of that aggression. The Israeli official that is the one that is holding an advisory role in the Pentagon, Richard Perle, who is a big officer in the Mossad, as you know, he was the one who theorized this invading war against Iraq. So Israel is the first inciter and the first beneficiary of this war against Iraq. And maybe you heard Colin Powell, the Secretary of State of the Criminal Bush, who said that the security of Israel is the dearest in the world vis-a-vis America, and the security of Israel is the reason behind this aggression against Iraq. We hear a lot of talk about the passage of Israeli soldiers to Jordan to participate in the war and the aggression against Iraq. We don't have confirmed reports, but we will not be surprised. You saw the Israeli rocket that did not explode in Dora in Baghdad. We are not surprised because Israel is the first inciter, and they represent the greed of the companies that Bush represents, the oil and other companies. Those group that are ruling in America were brought about by those companies, and they represent their interests.
You've been listening to Iraq's Foreign Minister, Naji Sabri, who's been holding a press conference live. Let's just briefly sum what he said. He said the invaders and the Zionists are after Iraqi resources. He said the enemy is being defeated on all fronts. As far as the Arab world is concerned, he said the Arab position is as one. There are no exceptions, and the Arab world is extremely angry about the aggression towards Baghdad. He said that the those he calls invaders, which of course are the coalition troops that he's referring to, are
and other uprisings and revolutions launched by Iraqis against the British colonialism. Now they will have other graveyards who will be joined by their own friends, Americans. Those American and British soldiers who will not surrender to our forces will face nothing but death in the desert. Or else they have to flee back to their puppet regime in Kuwait. نعم يس
الوزير ذكر حركة حماس يوم أمس أن طلاع الجهاديين قد وصلت إلى بغداد كم يضرب وأيضا ذكر العراق أن هناك أكثر من 4,000 متطوع عربي قد وصل. هل تم مشاركة هؤلاء المتطوعين في معارك الجنوب والفرات أم أنهم سيكون بانتظار المعركة الكبيرة في بغداد؟
ليست لدي معلومات عن أرقام العناصر الفلسطينية من المتطوعين. هناك متطوعون من كل البلدان العربية، من جميع الدول العربية هناك متطوعون وصلوا إلى العراق، زاد عددهم الآن هذا الرقم 4,000 قبل 3 أيام، الآن زاد.
We've been listening to the briefing by Iraqi Foreign Minister Naji Sabri. Mr. Sabri described coalition forces as invaders, Zionists after the resources of Iraq, aiming to partition and colonize Iraq. He said that Arab governments should yield to popular positions, and that Arab governments stabbing Iraq in the back will get people's justice in the future. He also called on United Nations to stop aggression immediately, and he said that Israel is behind this aggression. Naji Sabri said that the Iraqi people is determined, with the help of the God, to win the final victory. Well, during Naji Sabri's press briefing, we've also seen new explosions in the city of Baghdad, and anti-aircraft fire can also be heard over the city of Baghdad. Iraq's second largest city, Basra, has also continually been bombed by fighter planes and come under shell fire since the war started. Many areas in this city and others have been reduced to rubble, but the attacks appear only to be enraging civilians. Xie Zheng reports.
Fighting has disrupted food and electricity supplies. A government building and a school in central Basra were badly damaged, and a number of civilians injured on Saturday and Sunday. The roads were covered in rubble and stained with blood. This is a civilian area. There is nothing military around here. Water supplies are running low, so Iraqis are digging up dirty wells. The prices of tomatoes and other vegetables are skyrocketing. Western tanks controlled roads around the city on Sunday. U.S. media is reporting that American soldiers have the order to shoot anyone approaching a U.S. checkpoint who refuses to turn around or stop at orders. The situation is in sharp contrast to Western expectations. Many thought the Shiite people in the south would revolt against the largely Sunni leadership, but the people of Basra are focusing their fury on the U.S. and British soldiers ringing their homes. CCTV.
A UH-1 Huey transport helicopter of the U.S. Marines crashed on Sunday in southern Iraq, killing 3 Marine soldiers and wounding another. According to U.S. Defense Department, the latest casualties have brought the death toll of U.S. military personnel in the war to 45. On the British side, it is officially announced that the death toll has risen to 24 following the killing of a British soldier in a fighting with the Iraqi forces Sunday near Basra in southern Iraq. Insisting the war on Iraq is on track, U.S. President George W. Bush and top defense officials nonetheless are looking to counter unexpectedly fierce resistance by reinforcing and speeding up the flow of combat forces and supplies. U.S. and British forces have topped 290,000 in the Persian Gulf. U.S. Marine reinforcements left Camp Patriot in southern Kuwait on Sunday to bolster coalition troops in Iraq. Louis Space has a story.
Troops from the 24th Marine Expeditionary Unit waiting to go into battle. They're part of thousands more being sent to Iraq. There's been criticism recently that the US Pentagon initially prevented the military from sending enough troops to the Gulf. But US officials say the deployment of extra forces was planned months ago. These Marines spent 3 days unloading supplies from the USS Nassau anchored off the coast. But some of them now have mixed feelings about going into action.
Part of me feels I want to go help out, and the other part feels I want to go home. But, I don't know, do my part, I guess.
I'm very confident that, you know, we're going to go in there and get the job done, because we've trained a lot, trained hard for this. This is what we get paid to do.
The U.S. Army's 4th Infantry Division is also being sent to the region. Its first supplies expected to arrive in Kuwait within days. Further troops may be deployed sooner than scheduled. The Pentagon apparently remains confident about the invasion despite complications from Iraqi paramilitary groups, Saddam's preparations for street warfare in Baghdad and other cities, and fake surrenders by some Iraqi soldiers.
Wave after wave of airstrikes on Baghdad and other Iraqi cities sent thousands of people away from home. At the same time, almost an equal number of people are moving homeward, determined to defend their nation. Jim Maltese has a story.
Hundreds of Iraqi young men are leaving the Jordanian capital of Amman to become volunteer fighters back in Iraq. The majority of them are in their 20s or 30s and have come to Jordan to seek employment in order to send remittances to their families in Iraq. Among those waiting for the bus near the Iraq-Jordanian border, many have said they are anxious to be at home for the dignity of their homeland, and they feared little for their lives.
We will go to fight. We're going to fight the Americans. I am not afraid. I'm going to fight in the holy war. I am being called to a jihad by Islam. We have to fight the conquerors. We have to defend our homeland, our holy sites, and our dignity. And if we die, then we'll go to heaven.
Ahead of them is a 500-kilometer journey from the Jordanian border to Baghdad, probably fraught with unknown perils, as travelers coming to Jordan tell stories of destroyed vehicles on the sides of the road. According to Jordan's foreign ministry, some 5,000 Iraqi nationals have left Jordan since March 16th for Iraq. Homesickness is also spreading among many American soldiers stationed on aircraft carriers. Once the pride of patriotic feeling subsides, the banality of everyday life takes control and brings about increasing pressure and a yearning to see the war end soon. But back in the States, Army recruiters are signing up plenty of new candidates for enlistment. And the cruel truth remains. The resistance from the Iraqis is fierce, with no signs of a quick end. Joan Maltese, CCTV.
On the 12th day of the U.S.-led military strike on Iraq, the Bush administration is facing increasing criticism for not progressing on schedule and inadequate troop strength on the ground in Iraq. In our daily war commentary, our military correspondent Han Bin interviews some Chinese military analysts on the reason for the current military stand-down in Iraq and filed this report.
U.S. helicopters were shooting at Iraqi targets near the southern city of Nasiriyah, with a major southern front put on hold. In Kurdish-controlled northern Iraq, U.S. forces were being reinforced, and special forces are acting in the west. Chinese military analysts say that taking over a strictly defended city of 5 million people would be a difficult task without reinforced ground troops.
Although the U.S.-led forces have a large number of ground troops in Iraq, they are suffering a disadvantage in terms of number against the Iraqi forces. The advantage of the Allied forces lies in the quality rather than their quantity. The major characteristics of urban warfare is ease of defense and the difficulty of attack. Without sufficient ground forces plus fierce airstrikes, it would be hard to take Baghdad. To ensure victory in urban fighting, reinforced ground troops have to be deployed in time.
Since the start of the war 12 days ago, the U.S. forces have been launching increasingly heavy bombings on Iraq's major strategic cities like Baghdad, Basra, Karbala, Mosul, Najaf, and Nasiriyah. In some cities, military confrontations with the Iraqi forces are still fierce. According to U.S. officials, the Allied forces have deployed land, naval, and air forces in Iraq. They include a U.S. infantry division, 2 airborne divisions, 1 Marine Expeditionary Force, and 6 aircraft carriers. Right now, the total personnel in Iraq has reached some 200,000. With the reinforcement troops en route to the region, the Allied forces in the Persian Gulf will exceed 290,000. Analysts also point out the Allied forces may face attacks in the weakest parts of the southern front.
Aside from the British 7th Armored Brigade, all the major combat forces are heading towards Baghdad. The Allied forces are lacking reinforced troops in the south. The supply lines stretch over 500 kilometers from Baghdad to Kuwait. This has left some weak points for the Iraqi forces. The closer the Allied forces get to Baghdad, the more fierce resistance they will face. For Baghdad is the command and control center of Saddam's most loyal units, with six Republican Guard divisions deploying around the outskirts of the city.
On the streets of Baghdad, fighters are taking up positions now. Saddam promised the street fighting would inflict huge losses on the invaders. And the US troops are digging in and waiting for the decisive battle to begin. Despite the stiff resistance plaguing Allied forces far to the south of the Iraqi capital, the US officials insist that the war is well on track.
The combat operations are continuing. They're continuing in the north, they're continuing in the west, they're continuing in the south, and they're continuing right around Baghdad.
So, the Chinese military analysts conclude that the US-led forces are regrouping for the next phase. While the mission in Iraq remains focused on Baghdad, tactics are being used in the field will likely delay ground assault for some time. For both the Iraqi and Allied forces, the hardest is yet to come. Hanbin, CCTV.
The Iraqi Deputy Prime Minister Tariq Aziz says that the Iraqi people have the right to fight by all means in the war against U.S.-led invaders. Aziz made the remark on Sunday in an interview with American TV network ABC, referring to a suicide bombing that killed four U.S. soldiers at a checkpoint near Najaf in central Iraq on Saturday. Xie Zheng reports.
Aziz said the Iraqi people threatened by an invasion have the right to fight by all means to defend themselves, adding that suicide bombing is one of those means. The Deputy Prime Minister also dismissed the charge that the bombing was a terrorist act.
The question of terrorists, when you fight an invader by whatever means available to you, you are not a terrorist.
Aziz said the U.S. and British troops were surprised that the Iraqi people were resisting them courageously with great determination to deter them. He also said the U.S.-led war against Iraq was based on lies and deception by the American and the British. Aziz said Iraq saw no solution to the war except the complete and unconditional withdrawal of foreign troops from Iraqi territory. The Deputy Prime Minister also confirmed that Iraqi President Saddam Hussein is still alive. Jigong, CCTV.
U.S. Secretary of State Colin Powell has again accused Syria and Iran of supporting Iraq and of pursuing weapons of mass destruction. The U.S. official repeated the Bush administration's pledge to defeat the Iraqi government to a powerful Jewish lobby group. Xie Zheng returns with more details.
Addressing the policy conference of the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, Colin Powell admitted that coalition soldiers, quote, are laying down their lives, and praised their national leaders as brave and bold. Despite the progress being made by coalition forces is slower than many have expected, Powell insisted the U.S. would, quote, drive Saddam Hussein and his regime from power. The U.S. official also vowed to attack the al-Qaeda terrorists wherever they are. As a consequence, Powell accused Iran of pursuing weapons of mass destruction as well as the ability to produce and deliver them, adding his demands that the country stop doing so. Powell also accused Syria of direct support for terrorist groups in the, quote, dying regime of Saddam Hussein. He said Syria faces a critical choice. Both Iran and Syria have refuted Powell's accusations. Sitting CCTV.
The Kremlin says Russian President Vladimir Putin held telephone talks on Sunday with British Prime Minister Tony Blair and Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi. The subject was humanitarian programs in Iraq. Putin and Blair welcomed the decision by the UN Security Council to resume the Oil for Food program. Putin and Berlusconi's talks focused on humanitarian topics, and the two leaders agreed that their similar stance on many aspects of the Iraqi crisis paved the way for their constructive cooperation. Two UN trucks full of humanitarian aid entered northern Iraq on Sunday from Turkey. This is the first UN humanitarian convoy to pass into northern Iraq since the war began on March the 20th. The two trucks were carrying goods worth $4 million, including water, purification equipment, medicine, and basic educational materials. The goods destined for northern Iraq are part of the United Nations Oil for Food program, which was resumed last Friday. As the humanitarian situation in Iraq deteriorates as a result of the U.S.-led war, the executive director of the United Nations Children's Fund has leapt into action. Carol Bellamy is calling on the people around the world to donate money to enable the UN agency to act immediately to help the suffering women and children of Iraq. Zhou Jun has the details.
UNICEF warns that Iraq's humanitarian needs will grow rapidly over the coming weeks of war. The agency is saying it needs over $160 million in donations to support emergency humanitarian assistance to the Iraqi women and the children most at risk from the war. UNICEF says it will use the money to buy vaccines to prevent fatal childhood diseases, special food for malnourished children and pregnant women, supply clean and safe drinking water, medicines, and medical care equipment. According to UNICEF statistics, even before the war, about 1 million children under the age of 5 are already suffering from malnutrition, and an additional 1.3 million children are thought to be at the risk of being malnourished. Zhou Jing, CCTV.
Australian forces are unlikely to play a role in post-war Iraq. That's a message Australian Foreign Minister Alexander Downer delivered in Sydney before leaving for America for talks with top U.S. diplomats and U.N. officials over the progress of the war and the post-war reconstruction of Iraq. Xu Hong reports.
Australia is a staunch supporter of the top U.S. line on Iraq. It now has 2,000 military personnel fighting with Americans and Britons in Iraq.
When the war is finished, we will be more or less withdrawing the Australian military contribution, and we've made that clear that we're not going to keep any significant number of troops in Iraq in the post-conflict situation.
Downer says he's not expecting an increase in Australia's military presence in the Gulf while the war continues.
More troops. We've made the commitments we've made, and those troops of one kind or another and are... Of course, in particular, our special forces, our AAAF contingent, and the Navy are doing an outstanding job. But we don't have any.
Downer went on to stress Australia would press America to allow the United Nations to administer an interim government in Iraq once the war ends.
I think that's very important, that Iraqis themselves get back to governing Iraq.
As to when the war will end, Downer says he expects it to last at least several weeks. 12 days into the war, Australian forces have suffered no casualties. Xihong, CCTV.
Former UN Secretary General Boutros Ghali says the US and Britain have violated the UN Charter in waging war on Iraq without UN authorization. He said in an interview Sunday with the BBC that the two countries should have gained authorization from a new UN resolution for taking military action as required by Resolution 1441 adopted last November. He also noted that the most imperative task of the international community should be to take effective measures to avoid turmoil in other Persian Gulf countries and get fully prepared for post-war reconstruction in Iraq. A recent poll conducted by the American ABC television network and Washington Post indicates that the majority of African Americans do not support the war on Iraq. 20% of those serving the U.S. military are black. Dominic Fitzsimmons has more on their mixed feelings on the war.
The poll shows that support for the war amongst African Americans has remained unchanged at 35%, while support from Americans overall has jumped to 72% since when the war began. At the True Vine Missionary Baptist Church in Mobile, Alabama, the Reverend Howan Johnson is praying for a son he lost in a war he doesn't support. His 21-year-old son, Private Howard Johnson II, was killed a week ago in an ambush in Nasiriyah. His is not the only family feeling the pain after losing a son in a battlefield a long way from home.
I'm having the necessity of this particular action.
George Bush, take a good look at this man, because you took my only son away from me.
The Iraqi community in Detroit, Michigan, is also torn by the conflict.
When the bombing happened for Israel and Baghdad, there were about 15 civilians killed. It's very close to my wife's family. And for sure we don't know, because there's no communication.
If there's no war, they're going to die. If there's war, they're going to die. You know, they are in the middle. You die anyway. So the situation in Iraq is terrible.
Some residents say they've been unable to reach their relatives for days, and have become avid watchers of Arab television networks to get any kind of news on the war and the plight of their families. Dominic Fitzsimmons, CCTV.
For some news networks, wars such as that in Iraq are a chance to gain worldwide recognition with their news coverage. This is true for the once relatively unknown Arabic TV stations. With their language and geological advantages, the TV news teams are getting themselves known thanks to their exclusive take on the war in their region. Wei Hong takes a look at some TV news outlets.
Established in 1997, the Al Jazeera TV station in Qatar gained worldwide fame after the September 11th attacks on the United States. It attracted the world's attention with the broadcast of the Al-Qaeda statement. It is renowned as the Arabic TV station, as it offers the highest production values and for screening the most dramatic pictures of the Iraq war. The coverage of the recent airstrikes on one market in Baghdad came from Abu Dhabi TV station in the United Arab Emirates. It is one of the few TV stations which are allowed to enter Baghdad to shoot pictures, as well as one of those with the most anti-war inclination. Al Arabiya is another TV station in the United Arab Emirates. It is only as old as almost the war in Iraq. Though the youngest, it made its name known overnight with an on-the-spot report on Baghdad under the initial airstrikes. The Lebanese Broadcasting Corporation TV network is the sole Arabic TV station which does not locate in the Persian Gulf. Providing round-the-clock services on the war, it is one of the most important news sources for the Western media. Wei Hong, CCTV.
You're watching CCTV International. We'll be right back after a short break.
Whenever news breaks, we'll keep a close watch. Worldwide Watch, every night at 7 p.m. Beijing time, only on CCTV International.
Japanese Prime Minister Junichiro Koizumi held talks with visiting Republic of Korea's Foreign Affairs and Trade Minister Yoon Young-kwan on Monday. Both sides agreed to strengthen cooperation between themselves and the United States so as to diplomatically resolve security issues with the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. Peter Simpson has more.
Prime Minister Koizumi said the controversy over the DPRK's nuclear weapons development program should be solved peacefully, a sentiment echoed by the Republic of Korea. The ROK's Foreign and Trade Minister Yu Yang-kwan and Japanese Foreign Minister Yuriko Kawaguchi agreed to seek a diplomatic solution to the nuclear issue. The two sides also agreed to arrange a visit to Japan by the ROK president in the near future. The visit is expected to take place after the President visits Washington in May. Peter Simpson, CCTV.
An explosion occurred and resulted in fire killing one person Saturday when a Maltese tanker was pumping oil from a Singaporean tanker of the Dapeng Bay near China's southern city of Shenzhen. That was confirmed by the local Maritime Affairs Bureau on Monday. Sun Li reports.
The accident left one person dead and three injured who had been rushed to a hospital in Hong Kong. The Bureau received the report early Sunday morning when the fire had been put out but oil contamination was left. The Maltese Bizancio tanker began pumping Friday evening from the Asian Progress 2, the Singaporean tanker, which had 50,000 tons of Kuwait crude oil on board. The explosion occurred while 28,000 tons of oil was being infused into the Maltese vessel. Officials from the Bureau said the oil pumping between the two tankers was not approved by the Bureau and thus was illegal. Sun Wei, CCTV.
An aftershock measuring 5.2 on a Richter scale shook the Xinjiang counties of Jiaxi and Bachu Monday morning, just over a month since the region was hit by a major earthquake. The China Seismological Bureau said that there are no reports of casualties so far. The quake occurred at 7:15 a.m. Beijing time and its epicenter was 70 kilometers from Jiaxi town and 90 kilometers from the Bachu town. This is the strongest of the over 5,000 aftershocks that have occurred since the two counties were hit by an earthquake measuring 6.8 on the Richter scale on February 24th this year. China's Ministry of Communications announced the official implementation of the nation's latest marine rescue management system on Sunday. The ministry officials say that amid ever-increasing water traffic, the country's marine search and rescue centers should improve their response and coordination capabilities. A 24-hour professional marine rescue team will also be established. In the past 5 years, the country has conducted 2,900 marine search and rescue operations in marine waters, helping more than 25,000 people. China will suspend the issuing of new licenses to prospect and mine for minerals from now until the end of 2005. The Ministry of Land and Resources said the move is aimed at protecting China's valuable mineral resources, which amount to 80% of the world's total. The move is also expected to defuse a damaging price war between the country's rare earth companies. The west-to-east gas pipeline is making good progress, and constructors are paying attention to environmental protection work along the piping belt. Pei Jian has more.
The 4,200-kilometer-long pipeline project covers 12 provinces and autonomous regions. At a construction site in Kuala City in Xinjiang, constructors have made every effort to minimize the damage to local environment.
We have conducted pipe welding, covering up, and land reformation at the same time so as to minimize soil erosion.
Constructors put natural conservation and protection at the forefront of their work and are careful to reduce the project's influence on wild animals. Advanced technical means have been used to protect the environment. Workers at different sections of the pipeline project have adopted various means of harmonizing the pipeline work with the local environment. Page CCTV.
Tax rebates usually represent a big slice of profit for many exporting companies. As the Iraqi war causes operational costs to rocket, many exporters are calling for the governments to quickly realize their promise on tax rebates so as to help them survive what they say is a difficult time. Zhou Xianbing has a story.
War in Iraq has pushed up costs in materials, transportation, and insurance for export-oriented businesses, which are witnessing a dramatic decline in orders. Orders is compounded by absence of tax rebates. In three coastal provinces, Jiangsu, Zhejiang, and Guangdong, the government owns enterprises 150 billion yuan or some 18 billion US dollars in tax rebates, and the amount owed keeps growing. Due to this delay in the delivery of rebates, many companies are forced to take out loans from banks, thus forming the so-called arrears. Now enterprises predict they will suffer further losses unless tax rebates forthcoming. Economic experts are urging the government to pay back the levies so as to keep China's economic momentum. 周倩斌 CCTV.
Watching CCTV International. More news ahead after a short break.
What color do you see in your eyes? Is it gray, blue, or even red? You may see only one side of the story. CCTV 9 shows you the real China, revealing the whole spectrum of this fascinating country. CCTV 9, your first window on China.
Chinese Vice Premier Hui Liangyu has said China will closely monitor climate changes and rely on science and technology to realize sustainable development of human society. Hui made the remarks at the opening ceremony of International Symposium on Climate Change in Beijing on Monday. Cheng Yi reports.
Vice Premier Hui said global climate changes has always been a deep concern of the Chinese government.As early as 1992, China signed the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change and drew up China's Agenda 21, in which a strategy of sustainable development was proposed for the first time and to be rolled out during the 21st century. Hui also expressed China's willingness to step up its cooperation with other nations and enhance the ability of developing countries to cope with changes in climate.Professor Godwin O.P. Obasi, Secretary General of World Meteorological Organization, told the delegation that the global average temperature has risen by 0.6 degrees Celsius since the year 1860, peaking in 1998 and followed by another steep rise in 2002. 11 out of the 13 warmest years have been recorded in the last 12 years alone.The major cause lies in the increasing emission of the so-called greenhouse gases coming from fossil fuels such as those used in petrol-driven vehicles. The density of carbon dioxide in the air has grown by more than 32% compared with 150 years ago. Obasi acknowledged China's efforts in improving its approach to the environment and called for all the participants across the world to work to reduce the negative impact that climate changes will inflict on human life.Cheng Yi, CCTV.
And that's it for this edition of CCTV News. I'm Richard Wang in Beijing. Stay with us for the latest on the war in Iraq.
watching CCTV International.